Turn back, if you will, in your Bibles to the 50th Psalm. I want to speak this morning on a lifelong occupation. A lifelong occupation. That's the subject this morning. I want to begin here in verse 15 it is, where the psalmist said, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." This verse has been a very special verse to me, and many times has challenged my heart when I was greatly discouraged. And we see a few things here. Let me just point them out to you quickly so that you might be able to appreciate what we're going to say this morning. Number one, we find the occasion in this verse, and it is trouble, the day of trouble. That's the occasion. And then the command that we have here is call upon me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. And then the promise is, I will deliver thee. I will deliver thee. And the design, and that's what we want to get to, the design is, thou shalt glorify me. When the day of trouble comes, and you call upon me, and I have delivered you, then you shall glorify me. And you'll do this by praying and by praising when your prayer has been heard. You'll praise the Lord because he has heard your prayer and because he has delivered you. And then look over in verse 23. When we glorify God, when we offer praise unto his name, it says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." The man or the woman, the boy or the girl that offers praise unto God glorifies the Lord. Now, praise is a God-exalting work. It's a God-exalting work. Though nothing can add the least to God's essential glory, yet praise exalts him in the eyes of all those that are around about us when we offer praise unto the Lord. Praise is a setting forth of God's honor. It's a lifting up of his name. It's a display of his goodness. It's a proclaiming of his excellency. It's a spreading of his renown. A breaking open the box of ointment whereby the sweet savor and perfume of God's name is sent abroad into the world. Now, beloved, we want to glorify God. We want to praise the Lord for his mercy and his goodness. Praise, Thomas Manton said, is a soul in flower. Self-love may lead us to prayers, but love to God excites us to praise. If we love the Lord, and if we've been delivered by the Lord, then we ought to praise the Lord. Praising God is one of the highest and the purest acts of religion, praising the Lord. Now, we know that in prayer we're like men, but as the old prophet of God said that I read this last week, he said, in praise we act like angels. In prayer we act like men, but in praise we act like angels. Now, I'd like for you to turn, if you would, this morning over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. And here we have our main text for the message today. And I hope that the Lord will give us hearing ears, receptive hearts to receive the message this morning on a lifelong occupation. And we read here in verse 15 and verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 13. It says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to share, communicate or share, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." And so we have in verse 15, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name." Now, I wish this morning to stir up your mind as many of you as have been made kings and priests unto God by the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope to stir you up to exercise the holy office which God has given you, and that is the office of offering a sacrifice acceptable unto God, a sacrifice which would be pleasing, which would please the Lord, which would be well-pleasing unto Him. Now, we're told over in the 115th Psalm, I like these two verses, verse 17 and 18. It says, "The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore praise the Lord." Now then, the dead praise not the Lord. Certainly the physically dead cannot praise the Lord. And certainly those that are spiritually dead, those that are in a state of nature, those who are unaffected by the gospel of God's redeeming grace, those who've never had faith to come to them, they cannot and will not praise the Lord. But we this morning that have been made kings and priests unto Him, we have an office and we have a duty, and that is to offer praise and thanksgiving unto His name continually. First then, concerning a believer, let me describe to you the sacrifice that he's to make. By him, therefore, let's begin right there. By him, therefore. Now, I want to begin here because that's where the apostle begins in the text. We begin with Christ. We cannot go one step without him. We cannot proceed one step. Without a mediator, we can make no advance to God. Apart from Christ, there is no acceptable prayer. There is no pleasing sacrifice of any sort that we can make. By him, therefore, by the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, it is if Christ, the great high priest of our profession, meets us at the sanctuary door, and we place all of our sacrifices into his hands that he may take them before the Father and present them for us. Now, beloved, that's the way it is. We cannot advance to God and offer any sacrifice to him, not even the sacrifice of praise, unless we come through the Lord Jesus Christ. If we could do anything without him, which we cannot, John 15 says, without him, without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. And so I think this morning we ought to be afraid to try to approach him to offer anything unto God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us never venture upon a sacrifice apart from him, lest it be the sacrifice of Cain or the sacrifice of fools. He is, the Lord Jesus is that altar which sanctifies both the gift and the giver, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to observe this morning with me that we approach God, we come with an offering of praise, an offering of thanksgiving unto him, and we offer it in the name of the Lord Jesus, just as we would offer a petition unto God for something that we desire, something that we need. We must come in the name of Jesus, because you might think, well, God would receive it otherwise, but he won't. By him, therefore, the apostle says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And I want you to observe next that this sacrifice is to be presented continually. And I want you to pay attention to that word. Not on Sunday only. This is not an occasional duty. It is to be continual, the text says, which means 7 days a week, which means the rest of our pilgrimage here in this world. It means that this is a lifelong occupation, this offering up of this sacrifice of praise unto God. Now then, not just when we retire at night and not when we arise in the morning, although we ought to do that, and we certainly ought not neglect doing that, but it says continually. That is, without ceasing. Now, the Bible says pray without ceasing, and Paul here says that we ought to praise without ceasing also. Not only in this place here where we are this morning, or in some other place which people have set aside maybe for public worship, but in every place we are to praise the Lord our God. Not only when we're in a happy frame of mind, but when we are cast down and troubled also, we're to bless the Lord at all times. Now, I recognize this morning that we all have different dispositions, and there are times when we don't feel like praising the Lord. There's times when we don't feel happy enough, contented enough, when we don't feel trusting enough in the Lord to praise Him and to lift up our voice and glorify the Lord by praise. But my friend, this morning, we ought to bless the Lord at all times. I'm telling you what the duty is. I'm telling you what the duty is. We'll deal a little bit more as we go along this morning with our disposition and our frame of mind and how we're to deal with that and so on. But now listen, I know that we cannot always be speaking out and praising the Lord in a verbal way, but we can always be living the praise of God in our heart. The heart, once set on praising God, will, like the stream, it'll continue to flow in its chosen course. If the heart is set on praising the Lord, a soul that is saturated with divine gratitude will continue almost unconsciously to give forth that sacred odor of praise unto God. If we're living out this praise, if it's in us, then it will be coming out. And even sometimes when we're unconscious of it, we'll be praising the Lord. Now, there is no time in which it would not be right to praise the Lord. There's no time when it would be right to suspend praise unto God. We ought to offer. Paul says, let us, and that means all who have an interest in the things of God, all who are in the Lord Jesus Christ and have an interest in the eternal covenant of grace, all those who have had provision made for them by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross, all of those who have been received by Him, accepted in Him, all of those who have been chosen, called of God effectually, all of those, they should be offering this sacrifice of praise unto God. You see then that there are two important points at the very outset this morning of this message, and that is that we're to offer this praise always, and it's always to be offered through Him, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next thing the apostle goes on to tell us here is that this sacrifice is, he tells us what it is the sacrifice of praise. Now, praise, I believe that this is heart worship or it's adoration. It's heart worship or adoration. Now, adoration is a great, and maybe it's the grandest form of earthly service, to be able to adore the Lord. Now, we ascribe unto Jehovah, the one living and true God, all honor and glory. When we see His works, when we hear His word, when we taste of His grace, when we mark His providence, when we think upon His name, our very spirits are made to bow before Him in the lowest reverence and magnify Him as the glorious God of heaven. We are made to honor Him. We adore Him. We magnify Him. Let us abide continually in the spirit of adoration as the Lord's people. For this, I believe, is praise in its purest form, to adore the Lord, to magnify the Lord. Now, praise really, I believe, is heart trust and it's being content with God. I think that if a man can praise the Lord, that it means that he trusts the Lord, that he has laid all and given all over and abandoned himself over into the hands of the Lord, and that he is content in his heart with the Lord. That he's not in a running battle with the Lord. That he's not mad at God. That he's not frustrated with God. That he's not in some way or another out of sorts with God. He's not wrangling with God. He's not so discontented with God that he's give up prayer and he's give up praise and he's give up the reading of the word. He's giving up delighting in the Lord. No, it means that he has a heart that is content with God, and therefore he can praise the Lord. Now, beloved, it's worthwhile to live the most afflicted and tried life that you can imagine as long as we know God and we taste his love in our daily experiences. Let him do what seemeth him good as long as he will, but let him be a God to us and permit us to call him our Father and our God. Now, beloved, we've got to deal with this thing of our heart contentment and it being what I think, motivating force of praise unto God. Now, if you cannot delight yourself in the Lord, and if you have no ability to do that, if you cannot see there's enough revealed of him to your heart that you ought to be content with him, then you'll never be able to offer this sacrifice in the way that the Apostle Paul here tells us to offer. Now, praise is not only heart contentment and heart trust, it's heart enjoyment. Heart enjoyment. The indulgence of gratitude and wonder toward the Lord. The Lord has done so much for me that I must praise him or feel that I'm an ungrateful soul. Now, we must offer this praise unto God. It's a joy to do it if we're the children of God, if we're the people of God, if we're born of the Spirit. The poet said, "Blessed is the man, O Lord, who was chosen by your grace. Your election and your love causes our hearts to sing your praise. God of love, you sent your Son to redeem your chosen ones. Precious Savior, precious blood, for our sin your blood atones. When the time of love has come, God the Spirit comes to some. By grace we cannot resist. God's elect are called to come. Come to Jesus, yes we do. Come to Christ alone for grace. By God's sovereign grace and power, we the Son of God embrace. Blessed Father, blessed Son, blessed Spirit, three in one. We for grace our praise return. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done." My friend, how can we, as being the recipients of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, how can we, being having the blessings of God so wonderfully bestowed upon us, we having partaken of the cup of salvation, we having experienced the deliverance of the Lord, how can we continue on with an ungrateful heart and keeping away the praise that he deserves? He has done these great things for us. The psalmist said, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we're glad." And so, brethren and sisters, the Lord has favored us greatly. And before the earth was, as the poem said, the Lord chose us and entered into eternal covenant with our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us his Son, and he gave his Son to us in the eternal covenant. And he was manifested, the Lord Jesus was himself, to take away our sin. He was manifested to us in a way that he is not manifested to the world. There are so many that have never received a revelation of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus. There are so many around us that has never tasted and seen that the Lord is good, that's never been enabled by pure and divine grace to come to the place where they feel that their souls have been liberated from the guilt of their sin. Not very many around us. There are few, beloved, that have been saved, few that know the Lord. And he put his Spirit in us, a childlike spirit whereby we're enabled to cry, "Abba, Father, my Father." Now surely then we must feel praise in our hearts toward him. How can we satisfy our hearts if we do not extol him, if we do not exalt him, if we do not praise him? It is our obligation And we cannot get any peace in our hearts without praising the Lord. There just simply has got to be a praise coming out of our hearts unto Him for all of His manifold blessings and mercies. Now the next thing I'd like to say is that we have a heart love towards God also, which finds its expression in praise to God. I'd like to ask you this morning, if you're a blood-bought child of God, if you truly know the Lord, and if you know your election of God, if you know this morning where you stand with God, that you're accepted in His Son, the Beloved One, could you love anyone as you love God? Could you? Is it possible that you could love anybody as you love Him? The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. Could we love anyone like we love the Lord? Well, my God, I love Thee. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee. That's what Peter said. Thou knowest that I love Thee. And I think that every child of God loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, it is not ours to arraign the Almighty, but to submit to Him. If you love Him, it's not your business to quarrel with God. It's your business to submit to Him. Now, the point I'm trying to get to here is that we have a great deal of difficulty in praising the Lord. Somehow or other, we are so blinded by we're spoiled in a manner. Our lives, although we've had many ups and downs and many tests and many trials in our life, many afflictions in our life, yet our lives to some measure have been so free from many, many of the cares that others maybe have experienced. We have been so blessed in many areas of our lives that somehow or other, we just, when we run into a little period of difficulty and a period when it looks like our lives are going to crumble and everything's just going to come down around us, it somehow or other we just panic, and we get so full of resentment toward God, and we're so full of discontentment and so full of murmuring toward God that you would wonder that if we love the Lord at all or not. And we're bothered by every trifle. We get to the place where there's pain in every trifle, as John Newton said in his poem. And so, beloved, listen, it's not ours to argue with the Almighty and to be in rebellion against Him. But if we love Him, it is ours to submit to Him. We are not His censors. We cannot censor the Lord. We're His servants. We're His servants. And it's our business to praise Him. It's our business to let love magnify and honor and extol the Lord as it's in our hearts. We do not legislate, but we love. He is good. God is good. The Bible says that the Lord is good. He's supremely good in our esteem, and I think in your esteem this morning, if you're a child of God, the Lord is supremely good. We do not consider what He ought to be. Somebody says, well, God ought to be this, God ought to be that, God ought to do this, God ought to do something else. My brother, my sister, that is not our prerogative to consider what God ought to be. But we learn what He is, and as such, we love Him and adore Him. As He has revealed Himself to us, we learn what He is, and we submit ourselves to Him as He is. And I'm telling you here this morning, God's ways are not your ways. I'm telling you, your thoughts are not His. And we just simply can't submit ourselves to the chastening of the Lord. And it kills the praise of our hearts. And it's because we do not understand the Lord. We do not know Him as the Scripture reveals Him. God is a God of mercy and grace and love and justice and power. And He's a holy God. And He's a God that we ought to adore. And He's a God that we ought to praise. And a God that we ought to love. But we spend much of our time trying to figure out why. Why this? Why that? Why something else? We spend our time censoring Him. We figure that we somehow or other ought to have an explanation as to why things are like they are in our lives. And we forget who He is. We forget what the Scriptures revealed about Him. And we forget our duty as the children of God. And that is to offer sacrifice unto God, that is the fruit of our lips giving praise unto his name. Now then, the next thing here I'd like to call your attention is that the text deals with spoken praise, because the apostle says that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So then, we're to utter the praises of God. It's not sufficient to feel adoring emotions. They must be uttered unto God. They must be uttered. That's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Has your children ever heard you praise the Lord? Has your relatives ever heard you sing unto God? The priesthood of believers requires them to praise God with their lips. If you're a child of God, you're a priest unto God, and you're to offer a sacrifice. And Paul says it's a sacrifice of praise, and is to be offered with the lips. Has anybody ever heard you praise the Lord? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs ought to abound from the hearts of God's people. It's our duty to sing. We may not have a trained voice. We may not be able to sing as some, but listen to me. It may not sound good to the human ear, but I believe that it's offered from the heart, that it will be melodious in the ear of God. And so, beloved, I think we all ought to be the Lord's troubadours. We ought to be the minstrels of the Lord. We ought to, on life's way, we ought to be humming and singing out praise unto God as we go along life's way. And whether it sounds good to anybody else or not, we should be praising the Lord and singing to him. The ungodly sing, they sing, and their songs are silly, and they're garbage, and you can hardly tell what they are saying. And if you could have, you wouldn't be edified thereby. And so you and I ought not be ashamed to sing unto the Lord these songs of grace, and these songs that adore and magnify and praise the Lord God, the King of heaven. And so we should be joyful before our King, and we can talk, and we can speak well of his name. Jesus healed a man, the maniac of Gadara, and he said to him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee." Go home to your friends and open your mouth and tell them what God has done for you. Speak. Listen to me. Speak and speak and speak. Tell what God has done for you. But people generally don't know too much about what God has done for us. They rather know about how bad things are with us and how bad circumstances and situations are. We complain rather than tell what God has done for us. We somehow or other have been tricked into just being able to see how bad things are, and we just simply are not able to see how good and merciful and gracious and kind God has really been in his providence. Things are sometimes rough in this world. I will admit to that. I know something about that. I know a great deal about that. But I must discipline myself as a child of God, as a servant of God, as a recipient of God's grace and mercy. I must discipline myself and get myself into a vein where that I am occupied with the Lord and praising of his name. Now then, how can we obey this text and rail on the providence of God? You just simply can't do it. You can't do it. You can't be complaining. And you can't be going around all the time. Everybody knows you. Say, "Well, I know what kind of situation so-and-so's in, because when I meet them, they tell me always about their troubles and their problems." They're not interested in just praising the Lord. Well, my friend, this rebukes us all. Hear the word of the Lord. "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer," the scripture says. So let us come back to our duty then, brother or sister, and praise the Lord. This is our office. It is a holy and it's a privileged office as a child of God, as a priest unto God. Well, you say, "I just cannot force myself to praise the Lord." Well, we're not saying, and I don't hope nobody thinks that I am saying this, that you ought to force yourself to praise the Lord. This praise is to be natural. It is called the fruit of the lips. the fruit of the lips. Now, fruit is a natural product of the tree which bears it. And this praise is to be natural. It's to come from a heart. It's to come from a heart that's been affected by the grace of God and by God's Christ. It's to come from a heart that has experienced the love of God and tasted of God's love and God's mercy. It's to come from a heart that feels something toward the Lord. I'm not asking some unregenerate sinner. I'm not asking some alien sinner to get up and praise the Lord. I'm asking those who have tasted. I'm asking for those who have been redeemed by the hand of the Lord. I'm asking for those who know Him and to know His goodness, and those who have experienced something from the hand of God. I'm asking them to praise the Lord. And with them, praise to God is natural. It's natural. Now, this praise is to be sincere and real, I said. And if you look at verse 16 here, but to do good and to share, communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Do something. You're to do, to be active, to do good and to share. You're not to forget these things. This shows the sincerity and how real this is with you as a child of God. Now then, I want to, in the last place this morning, spend just a little bit of time in commending this blessed exercise to you, this lifelong occupation of praising the Lord. I just want to commend it to you. I've been talking about it now, but I've got to say some other things about it. Number one, I've got six or seven things here, and I'm not going to preach long on them, but I want to give them to you, and I want you to have this commended to your heart in a way so that you won't ever forget it. Number one, I believe that it'll answer the end of your being. Offering the sacrifice of praise unto God, it will answer the very end of your being. Now, I think that every creature is happiest when it is doing what it is made to do, what it's made for. Listen, Christians are made to glorify God. God's people, those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have been newborn souls from heaven, those that have been given the treasures of His grace in Christ, they have been fashioned to glorify God. Isaiah 43 and verse 7 says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have framed him," or formed him, "yea, I have made him." They've been created for my glory, those that have been called by my name. And we're not in our element as the people of God, as those that have received from him. We're not in our element until we are praising the Lord. For the praise of God, our new nature was fashioned. And this, my friend, is where we find rest and where we feel that we're doing what we've been called of God, what we've been formed by God, what we've been rescued by God to do. We are praising His name. God is deserving of praise. Now, the second thing I would say is this, that we're to praise God because it is His due. I'm commending this exercise to you. Number one, because it'll answer the end of your being. Number two, because it is His due. God has glory and praise coming to Him from you if you're His child. Should Jehovah be left unpraised? Now listen to me. Praise is the rent which He asks of us for the enjoyment of all things. I like that. It's the rent that God requires of us for the enjoyment of all things from Him. Will a man rob God? Will a man fail to pay his rent unto God? Listen, it blesses us to bless the Lord. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto His name. Is God worthy to receive praise? Is He worthy? In heaven above, He shall receive glory and honor and praise and might and power for all eternity. And He's worthy of it now. I commend to you this exercise. In the third place, we're to praise Him, for it'll help you do everything else. Now you hear me out on this. I know something about what I'm talking about. I'm no novice in this. If I can praise the Lord, if I can truly from my heart, if I am content with the Lord, if I am in love with the Lord, if I can praise the Lord from my heart, I can come here on Sunday morning and preach. I can go anywhere else and preach if I can praise the Lord. If I can praise the Lord, I can pray. If I can praise the Lord, I can trust the Lord. If I can praise Him. And if I, listen, I can be content and I can testify of the grace of God anywhere where I'm found if I can, in my own heart and soul, praise the Lord. If I can. But when the day comes that I cannot praise the Lord, then I can't preach. I don't want to. I don't want to come. I don't want to stand up anymore. If I can't praise the Lord, then I can't pray. If I can't praise the Lord, I can't witness. I can't testify. I can't do anything unless I can praise the Lord. If I can do that, then that means that everything is as it ought to be in my soul, and it'll help me do everything else that I've got to do. Everything else I've got to face, everything else I have to do. Yes, praising God is both meat and it's medicine. It's medicine to the soul. Now the fourth thing that I give you in commending this exercise to you is this. This will preserve us from many evils. From many evils. The praising of God will preserve us from many evils. When our hearts are full of praise to God, it does not have time to find fault with others. It does not have time to grow proud. It does not have time to be out of sorts with folks around us if our hearts are praising the Lord. It'll keep us from many evil. Now this is a great work, and we don't have time just to come down, as Nehemiah would say, I don't have time to come down and wrangle with anybody. I don't have time. This is a great work. Building the wall of Jerusalem he was referring to. And I'm talking about this business of praising God. It's a great work. And we don't have time for self-love. And we don't have time to be wrangling with everybody. We just, our business is praising the Lord. Now, self-love and natural irritations die when we praise as we ought. They just die out. If you praise God continually, the vexations and the troubles of life can be cheerfully borne. You say, well, preacher, I got so used to grumbling and complaining and griping, and it feels so good to me. I don't think I'll ever want to get rid of the vexations and the troubles of life. I don't want to bear anything cheerfully. I'm tired of bearing things cheerfully. My friend, listen to me. If we're children of God, it's high time that we arose above what we are in flesh and what we are just after the flesh, and that we become something above that and beyond that. We're servants of God. We're God's people. And we must bear cheerfully those things that we bear. And if we can praise the Lord, we can bear cheerfully the vexations and the troubles and those things that grate us in this world. We can bear it cheerfully if we praise the Lord. Now, am I telling you the truth? I'm telling you the truth. I really am. This is gospel. This is the truth of God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Praise makes the happy man the strong man. It makes him strong in the Lord. We will not fear while we can praise. If you can praise God, you don't need to be fearful and worrisome about everything that's going on around you. Fifthly, brethren, in my commending of this to you, let us praise God because it will be a means of usefulness to others. A praiseful heart is eloquent for God. Now you can say what you want to about eloquence, but I'll tell you what, eloquence for God is a praiseful heart. That's what it is. If you can praise the Lord, you're going to help somebody. See, I just like to be a help to somebody. You want to help your wife? Praise the Lord. You want to help your husband? Just have a praiseful heart toward God. You want to help your children? Just dry up and stop talking about this and that and everything else, and just have a praiseful heart toward God. Now that'd help us all, wouldn't it? It'd help us everyone. It would help us all if we could just do that. Now then, I'm telling you the truth, brothers and sisters. This is the way to be a means of usefulness to others, is take up this lifelong duty and give yourself to it from now on out, and just praise the Lord and be eloquent for your God. Now the sixth thing is this. Praise God because this is what pleases God. It pleases God. Now hear me out. For with such sacrifices, we read here in verse 16, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. He's talking about the sacrifice of praise mentioned in verse 15, and he's talking about this doing good and sharing in verse 16. He said, with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now then, listen to me. It seems too good to be true that we could impart any pleasure to the Lord. Yet it is so. It is so. The text says it is so. Can I please Him in this way? Can I please the Lord in this way? Does this He don't want the bullocks. And you can read back over there in Psalm 50. He said, I don't want them bullocks anymore. If I wanted them, He said, I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I'd just go out and get me one. I wouldn't have to wait. You bring me an offering. No, He said, you offer the sacrifice of praise. You praise me. You glorify me. My true worship is you call on me, and when you're in trouble, and I'll hear you and I'll deliver you, and then you glorify me. That's what I want. Whoso offereth praise glorifies me. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for no you bring me anything other than praise. That's what I want. I want glory. I want praise. Now then, I'll do it then if this will please Him. Would you agree with that? Would you say amen to that? I'll do it. If this pleases God, if this is a sacrifice He wants me to offer, and if I'm in a position in Christ to offer it, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll praise the Lord. Now the seventh thing, and the last thing, is this. Remember that this will fit you for heaven. This will put you in tune with what's going on up there now. This will put you in tune with what's going on in eternity forever. This will put you in tune. The poet said, I would begin the music here, and so my soul should rise. Think of how you will praise the Lord when you see Him face to face. Never, never more to sin. Always to be in His presence. To be praising Him, looking upon His beauty and the glories of an eternal and pure heaven. Think of how you will praise Him then. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him more and more. Rise up the ladder of His glory till you reach the top and are with Him to praise Him forevermore. May our songs be ever rising verse by verse into the eternal hallelujahs. May we be rising to glorify the Lord each day, each hour, as we go. The poet said, stand up and bless the Lord, ye people of His choice. Stand up and bless the Lord your God with heart and soul and voice. Bless the Lord. John Boys made this statement, one of the Puritans. He said, the servants of the Lord are to sing His praises in this life to the world's end, and in the next life, world without end. And so I think you can see that this does indeed commend this to our hearts, that this exercise of offering this sacrifice of praise unto God, remember that it will prepare you for heaven above to begin praising the Lord here. You're not going to lose a thing by praising God here. Don't think you are. Don't think somebody's not going to have sympathy on you if you're praising the Lord. Somebody said, well, that fella, he don't need anything. That fella's just getting by wonderfully well. He's praising the Lord. Well, praise God, he is. He is. But you see, you don't wait until everything's getting along wonderfully well with you before you begin to praise the Lord. You just praise the Lord because He's the same as He's always been. And He's not going to change. He's not going to change. And He ought to be praised. He deserves it. He deserves it. And from the likes of us even, he deserves to have it. And I hope we can become more taken up with him. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live and have some meaning in our lives? But brother, sister, you have meaning in your life if you're living to the praise and the glory of God. Yeah, there's meaning there. There's meaning there. Father, we give thanks this morning for your word. Just help us to remember this text. And bless our Father, we pray, our hearts from it as we continue to meditate upon it. Bless this little band of believers, and may we rejoice and be glad in the Lord. And may our souls just be able to magnify the Lord. And may we be happy in the Lord our God. And may praise swell up in our hearts. And may we offer it through the Spirit in the name of Jesus unto thee. We offer it now in his blessed and holy name and righteousness. Amen.